Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss-stealing,
woo! With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine-like, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
The Fan.
It's hour two. If you miss anything from hour one, there's a podcast. It's available at 1080thefan.com. It's available on the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. So go and find it. Listen to it. Tomorrow we got a best of Dirt and Sprague. Today we got Luke and Swag doing what we do. We also have some Deion Sanders we'll get to here in just a second. But want to mention we've got at 8:30 Jeremy Piven coming in. There is a chance on 1080thefan.com while you're there downloading that podcast to win tickets. So you can win tickets tomorrow night at the Roseland Theater. Just fill out the form online and good luck to you. So if you want to see your man from Entourage go and do some stand-up comedy, go and check it out. So Deion has solved the problems. It's Big 12 Media Week, and he has fixed college football. He's got all the ideas. We just have to do it. I wonder if it's a recruiting strategy or what his motives are, or he's just, you know, ready to make the move to pro football but hasn't made it yet. So let's see what Deion had to say about fixing college football.
There's got to be a salary cap on this stuff because this stuff is going crazy and nobody know where it's going to land, where it's going to end. And you have so many different doors. It's like I would see a player that said he got an offer from another school. And I'm trying to figure out why you guys haven't investigated and how is that possible when the guy's not in the portal? How's that? Now, if that was one of my players, you guys would be all over it. I'm trying to figure out how can somebody say, you got a $5 million offer. How? And the kid is not in the portal. So I think we need to be upright and upstanding. Secondly, I like the professional rules to be implemented in college. They're getting ready to be pros. So let's go 2 feet in, you know, on the catches. Let's mark the foul if it passed interference. Let's do the same thing the pro game is. Let's do it to college.
All right, so salary cap, where do you feel on that, Swag? So here's my thought on the salary cap initially. The problem right now in college football is there's no enforcement. There's really nobody
in charge. Well, I
don't
know. I thought they hired that dude from Major League Baseball that's going to approve all of the NIL deals.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
The clearinghouse or whatever they called it.
Tell me what authority the NCAA has in college.
It's not, he's not part of the NCAA.
No, I understand that. But they tried to be in charge of college football. They got run over by the conferences. So they were not able to do anything. So now you get a czar put in on college football.
The biggest thing is, are the power conferences that are going to be spending all this damn money, or most of it, are they willing to abide and operate by the same set of rules?
Absolutely not. There's
until
no way.
That happens,
or what they'll do, matter. Or what they'll do is they'll set the salary cap so high that it'll do exactly what it's doing, which is it'll price out any of the smaller schools, the new Pac-12.
If they can come up with a universal set of rules that they're all willing, and then there is actually some entity, some body that is put in charge and given real power to enforce those rules and to levy discipline when those rules are violated.
Okay, so let's put on our magical thinking caps and imagine that, first of all, the I think you're right. It starts with the conferences going, they have to agree, which we don't think will happen, but let's say it does. Then let's say there is some sort of authority that can go out and actually police this.
Right.
Then let's say they figure out a way to make fairness across college football. Do you really want that? Do you really want it to be? So it's always been haves and have-nots in college football. That's been one of the fun things where when a team that isn't supposed to be there gets there, Indiana or Arizona State, going and making some noise in college football is a great story, and fans go crazy for it. Nationally, it gets you excited for a moment, but if it ends up being Indiana versus Arizona State in the championship game last year, does anybody want that?
Yeah, I think if they earn it, if they truly earn it, the other big issue, if they can solve the financial piece of it and just the how we're going to set up and operate.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of competitive balance, there has to be more uniformity in the scheduling process.
That's the biggest problem I have with college
football. When you talk
anyways,
about competition and how we are going to evaluate who these best teams are once we figure out how much money you're going to be allowed to use to put a roster together, they have to have some better form of uniformity. You can't have – and that's why I do believe eventually somehow, some way, the top whatever – 60, 75 teams are going to break off and be their own thing.
Well, I think they need to. I mean, that's a difficult thing with
you can't 140
you can't play
or whatever.
Everybody.
Yeah.
There's no way to make it fair. And I still think what you do is just take Division I college football and just split it in half. Just to make it simple.
If there was.
And then bring back that Crystal football and have another championship game. I'm fine with that. I'd watch Memphis play against Nevada to win for the Crystal football. If you had two tournaments going on, listen, I know nobody cares about the NIL or not the NIL, the. What's the other tournament?
FCS?
What's the other tournament? The basketball tournament? The
NIT?
NIT.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't think of NIT. The NIT isn't interesting unless your team's there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to tune in and go, let's see how they're doing.
Exactly.
So nobody. Yes. Is it going to eclipse the NCAA tournament? No. Is there room for it? Sure there is.
No American sport is more geared to take a soccer model with relegation than college football.
You, my friend, are speaking my language. Let's address
the mere thought of a lot of these schools, Oregon State, Washington State.
They were relegated. They were just relegated.
They were relegated.
whether it was formalized or not,
fair
they were
or
just
not.
Relegated.
So if there was a – so if you have maybe under the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC, you wrap in now, you bring in, you know, so these Mountain West Pac-12 teams come under whatever.
Yep.
And the Sun Belt and American Athletic Conferences and Conference USA, and they all disperse and they all go under one of those brands, which would certainly help them. And so you have a second tier. So you have the upper tier and the second tier and whatever. And if you win at a certain level, and then if, Purdue keeps sucking at the Big Ten, sorry, you're going to go and play in the second tier, and
the idea of
somebody's going to move up.
The idea of tradition and rivalries and all of the things,
but it's not even about that. How much guaranteed revenue am I getting for my school if I get relegated versus going up? And nobody's willing to give that up.
But they do it under the guise of we want to keep the tradition alive. We want to keep all of those things. But what college football is proving again and again that money matters more than tradition.
Right.
And so if they're going to continue on that model, hey, you can play your three rivalry games, conference or whatever it is, and go on from there. Really quickly, though, what do you think of Dion's other ideas of pro-ifying the college game, changing the rules, 2 feet in, penalties, have it match what they do?
I think certain things, certainly 2 feet in, on receptions, I'm all for.
Yeah.
I think the skill level across the board, they can do it. And he's right. They are all preparing, all of those guys.
What percentage of college football players play in the next level? go to the pros.
It's a higher percentage than most other. I mean, it's still a very, very small percentage.
Yeah. Well, I got, but according to AI's overview polling from ESPN, it's 1.6%.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
very low.
What is it for D1 college basketball players to the NBA? I mean, there's simply not that many spots.
Yeah, no, there's not one. So, and in basketball, the length of career is a lot longer. Think the, but you look at some of the roster sizes on college football.
I understand. Well. And that's going to get capped, too. That's part of this whole process. They're going to get rid of scholarship limits, and then there'll be a roster cap similar to the NBA. There are some rules I don't want to see, and there's been more talk in the NFL, should pass interference just be a 15-yard penalty?
It should. I'd rather adopt the college rule for the pros.
So
I hate
some
the
of them, yeah.
Foul.
Should there be more uniformity between the rules? I'm all for that.
Yeah. Less than 2% of Division I college basketball players go to the NBA.
It's got to be way less than that.
It says less than 2%. It's pretty low. Yeah. I mean, 1.6 for the NFL, so it's comparable.
I would think it would be the other way around.
I don't know.
Now, is college football, are they going all the way down to Division III?
I just put it in real quick. Oh, okay. I don't know. Guys are getting drafted. Just I guess the point is most college football players do not play in the NFL. It's not an overwhelming majority. You can go and pick your team, the Oregon State Beavers. What percentage of that roster is going to the pros?
I understand.
Yeah.
But they are all preparing to give themselves the opportunity to do that. So if you are going to prepare for it, you should be practicing what you hope to be preaching one day.
I don't hate that there's differences in the way that it's played, and I get the idea that Deion was
but I'm glad they've done it with the timing rules and those sorts of all of that game structure.
Anything
I'm
that speeds
for.
Up the game, I'm for. Yep. Baseball, I know a lot of people were kind of taking both sides of the pitch clock. It's awesome. Going to a live baseball game is so much faster, so much more fun.
The only one I had on a serious issue with was banning the shift, because I don't think you should reward stubbornness.
Yeah, I would agree. I would like to have seen the players and the coaches.
If we know you're going to hit it there and you're not going to do anything to change it, then why should I be penalized because you're stubborn?
The one that got me in is still weird. And some people refer to it as a ghost runner, but the zombie runner in extra innings is still weird. It's still weird to me.
As long as it's not used in any postseason play, we're fine.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm with you. Because
that's what the NHL does. We have five-minute overtime and then a shootout. And then in the playoffs, no, you play till somebody wins the game.
Yeah. And
fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with
you. Play 162 of those games. You don't want to wreck a bullpen. You don't want to be there. We got to move on.
Yeah, nobody wants to stay at a game until tomorrow.
Yeah,
which has happened.
I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm a fan of the National League. I loved seeing pitchers hit and double switches and all that stuff. But
I thought I would miss it. I don't.
I'm nostalgic for it.
Sure,
but I'm not going to fight that one that hard.
No, that one's not too difficult to get behind. So
the shift one, I'm like, you can go back.
I'm okay.
Learn to hit the ball the other way.
Here's my other question. You mentioned college football scheduling. Is it possible that there's too much of a good thing? Everything seems to be expanding. We'll discuss that next. Luke and Swag on Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. T&Cs apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, doing the jitterbug. Let's go. All right, is it possible that there's too much of a good thing? Is more always better, Mr. Swigard? The NFL in 2021 went to 17 games. In 2020, they expanded to 14 playoff teams. They're in talks of as early as 2026 going to an 18-game season. The NBA added the play-in games in 2020 or 2021. I guess they permanently adopted it in 2021, so making it 10 teams playing, 7 through 10 playing every year. They're talking about expanding, adding two more teams, potentially in Vegas and Seattle. Major League Baseball has expanded their playoffs from 10 to 12 teams. They're talking about adding two more teams. The NHL is going next year, 26-27 season, they're going to add two more games to everybody's schedule, 84 games, and talking about going to 34 teams. The World Cup is now 48 teams next summer. You've got college football expanding their playoffs potentially in 2026 to 16 teams, and you've got the talk of 72 to 76 in the NCAA tournament. Everybody seems to be expanding.
Yes.
Is there a saturation point where you have too much sport?
No.
That was confident.
I don't think there is.
Okay.
The trick is to make sure you have the right amount of relevant sport.
Okay.
So as far as expanding into different markets with more teams, as long as the talent doesn't...
As long as Portland gets a baseball team.
As long as the talent doesn't get dispersed to the point where the product suffers.
Okay, so you watch a lot of college basketball, you know, beyond just the Portland Pilots because you're following the team. You follow the Hillsboro Hops. Is that something that you're concerned about? I mean, you're actually with these teams.
Yes.
And seeing how much talent is out there. We know that there's practice squads that have enough guys on the roster to follow every NFL team, the minor league system in baseball, the G League, all of that. Is that something that you're concerned about?
I don't think so. I think the way...
Feels like more opportunities for more guys is always a good thing.
It's always a good thing.
Especially with all the surprises we get. The Jeremy Lin Linsanity moments where it's a guy that if...
And it's going global.
Yep.
So expanding. So you're bringing in... You're seeking more talent all over the place.
Sure.
Trying to deepen the talent pool. Instruction, coaching is generally better at the younger levels.
Yeah.
So they're developing skills faster.
So more teams, I think we agree. Better to have more teams.
So as long as you're going to markets that will support it and bring fans, bring corporate sponsors, all of those sorts of things.
The NHL talking about going back to Atlanta for the third time.
That should get Gary Bettman fired.
I would hope so.
Especially because Gary Bettman, more than any other of our current commissioners, has probably improved his... approval rating in terms of what they've done. They just signed another 4-year collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
They've been able to broker labor peace. Everybody's growing. He's not perfect.
Roger Goodell has made a ton of money for the NFL. I think he's universally despised by fans, but I think the owners love him.
Yeah, the owners love him. But in terms of like fan approval rating within the sport, those usually it goes the other way. Adam Silver came in and he was like universally loved, and now everybody's like, wait, what?
The funny thing is he's doing a lot of the things that the NHL is doing, but he's doing it to a sport that has a lot more eyeballs on it. So trying to figure out the in-season stuff, because that's, I didn't even mention that in the expansion thing, adding the Four Nation tournament, the mid-season tournament for the NBA, and trying to even just reshift the way that we look at these these seasons is totally different too.
NBA has perception issues in terms of load management and those sorts of things. Because you have, and the way that they market it with their star players. So when a team that features one of the marquee players is coming to my arena, my town to play my team,
and you don't get to see the star,
and those tickets are not getting cheaper by the year, I want to go see, and they don't play. And I don't know about it until I've already bought the tickets. You have to buy tickets.
Yep.
You know, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Whereas with Major League Baseball, with hockey, you understand that, you know, injuries are more a part of it there. Or if there is one particular injury, hopefully there's enough other players or you're more for teams. In the NFL, it's still about the team. Well, it's still about the
NFL
event.
Is very conducive to load management. I mean, you're not gonna pull your quarterback out of select games, but by handing the ball off more or just, you know, adjusting your offense, you don't have to put him in harm's way as often. Every other position can be played by committee. I mean, there's not really a reason. The NFL is obviously pushing back for player safety reasons on the 18-game schedule, whether or not they remove two of the preseason games. Obviously, the already having the expansion of the playoff has been met with, I think, unanimous praise.
Yes.
And the Super Wild Card weekend is absolutely fantastic because you know that not every game is going to be great in the NFL playoffs. Right. But if you play 6, 8 of them, 12 of them during a weekend, you're going to have a couple you'll that are just absolutely great.
No. And I think the NBA with the play-in system, I would like to see them go backwards in the first round, make it a shorter series.
Oh, go to 5 games?
Put some more urgency on it early.
Well, the truth is most of the time they are shorter series because they're not super competitive. I'm trying to think. Did we have any go to game 7 this year?
But I think the other piece of the puzzle is if you get a lower seeded team to upset a higher seeded team, okay, can they do that 3 more times as opposed to twice? I would love to go back to the mini series back in the formative days of the modern NBA when it was a best of 3. And if you were a higher seeded team and you lost that first game, you were going on the road and you had to win to save your playoff life.
Yeah.
You want to talk about drama and ratings?
Yeah.
And get to it and shorten it just a week and a half or two.
Yeah.
Instead of the 2.5 month long sojourn that it is to get there.
Yeah.
I think we all get a little malaise at some point.
Well, yeah, because as you continue on with that, you're losing teams, and then when you get down to just a 2, it takes, you know, 2 weeks for you to
and
just,
as we've
just
seen
play the NBA
with
final.
You know, how much because now your best players are playing every game 35 to 40 minutes. And if they had not been doing that and they had been pacing themselves through the regular season with some load management, hopefully to get them to this point, but with the rigors of it, that they allow a lot more physicality in the playoffs, if that's going to be something they carry forward from the regular season, are their bodies then at that point prepared to handle what playoff basketball is versus the regular season?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would
the
be...
The number of injuries that we had.
Well, now, it's happening
in
baseball.
I'm not saying it's a one-for-one direct correlation, but...
No, I'm with you, but it's happening in baseball where some pitching staffs are experimenting with the opposite of a pitch count, where, you know, what might protect your arm is throwing more.
Yeah.
And so you kind of coddle them. I don't know if you've kind of heard the big change in peanut butter strategies for children, but when my kids were born, you know, it was like...
Clearly not.
Well, peanut allergies...
Yes,
obviously,
I'm aware of those.
Very dangerous to children. So we have brand new children 8 years ago. And my wife asked the questions, well, how do we know?
As opposed to used children? What are we?
you got these babies. They can't tell you. And you don't know what the reaction is going to be. But it used to be that, like, in case your child has a peanut allergy, wait until they're 3 or 4 where they're old enough that you can see a reaction.
Yes.
They changed it and went, give them peanut butter now.
Yeah.
Put peanut butter in their mouth because getting peanut butter early is more likely to prevent a severe allergy. So that was one of those things where there was a big explosion of peanut allergies, and they figured out, oh yeah, exposure helps. If you're getting injuries in the playoffs, exposure seems like a very good idea to me.
Yeah,
but yeah. Trying to coddle children, trying to coddle your NBA players, trying to coddle your pitcher's arms may not be working, and you're starting to see people reverse on that. I'd love to see the NBA look a lot more like it does in the playoffs, where it's physical. It's way more fun to watch. I'd be 100% in for that. And the idea that if you pull out these stars, the problem is they do. It's an on-off switch. Play your guys 20 minutes a game and let your bench get some work, and we can have more stars. I mean, you've got these, you know, this new three-headed monster in Oklahoma City, but they didn't do it by building a big three. They gave it by letting all their guys play and seeing who the best was, weeding them out.
And maybe that'll, combined with the change in the salary caps rules and the aprons and all of those sorts of things, where there's a little more emphasis put on depth rather than, you know, who my big three are, and letting them carry me
There's still a little meat on the bone here. I want to get your thoughts on the NCAA tournament expanding, World Cup expanding, these playoff expansions. You kind of talked about regular season a little bit there, but let's.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Luke Anderson filling in for Dirt and Sprague. Jason Swigard along for the ride. We would normally do the Daily Ticker here, but we're moving to 8:30. Jeremy Piven is doing some stand-up tomorrow night at the Roseland Theater.
Yes.
So he's going to pop in and be in studio with us at 8:30.
This is still, when you were living the comedian life.
Once upon a time.
8:30 was, how much of an ordeal was an 8:30 a.m.? Appointment.
I don't remember ever having a regular sleeping schedule, but I do remember doing a couple morning shows. We did a tour with a morning show called Lex and Terry that were based somewhere in Florida. And so we kept hitting morning shows along the whole thing. The entire tour was based in cities that they were syndicated in through the headliner that was buddies with them from way back. So, yeah, we did a lot of 8:30 calls. But you know what? The funny thing is you get the rest of the day for naps. I got pretty good at naps when I was doing it. So I wasn't a big time comedian, so I didn't have to do them on a regular basis. But at least on that tour. Yeah. It is what it is.
Had the whole crew in.
Yeah. You either sleep or stay up or do figure it out. The wild thing is trying to drive between cities and just going, all right, so we've got 8 hours to make it for between like a Friday and Saturday. So, and then you'd have between Saturday and like the next Thursday, you'd have nothing to do and you'd just be in the middle of the country doing whatever. So yes, it's a odd lifestyle. So changing up your sleep pattern was one thing. And this is an international tour for Jeremy Piven. So he's going to be going from finishing up. I believe he's been on the road for like 70 some odd days.
Wow.
And then he will start jumping planes, hit Australia, New Zealand.
Good thing he's in the land of coffee here in Stumptown.
That's right. Welcome to Stumptown.
I hope he likes coffee. Who knows?
Go ahead. We got Cycletown right across the street.
That's
so you
right.
can swing by there. So we are talking about, is there too much of a good thing? College basketball, college football, NFL already has, Major League Baseball already has. The expansion of playoffs. So we kind of talked about like expanding these regular seasons and doing whatever. The college football playoff last year expanded to 12 teams. And I think that the concern that people have is this dilution. You talked about the NBA in the last segment, fan text line. Somebody jumped in and said, the NBA definitely needs to go back to a 5-game series in the first round and then best of 7 and go back to the 2-3-2 game format. The NBA, I can see, especially with series, having abbreviated series when they're a little mismatches, one thing. NFL and college football, college basketball, when it's one game, winner.
When it's one and done.
Winner goes on, loser goes home.
Drama packed right there.
Absolutely. The first round of the college football playoff last year was not overwhelmingly exciting. Ohio State took care of Tennessee. Yeah. Texas whoops up on Clemson. Penn State, very lopsided. Notre Dame, Indiana
they
was
think
maybe
by the... going back to straight seeding and not guaranteeing automatic bids or advancing in buys and those sorts of things, that will fix that. So you should have more competitive, more evenly matched games in the first round.
You'd hope so, but the funny thing is I'm looking at is, you know, two of the four teams that played in the first round. Three of the four teams that played in the first round housed their next opponent. Ohio State whooped up on Oregon.
Well, and also when they go to 16 teams, when they go to 16 teams, they will get there. Then you won't have that. Then everybody will be.
That's what I think where it gets.
That will fix that.
But yeah, Penn State.
And that's because the layoff was too. It's one thing if you get an extra week to just kind of rest and.
Yeah, but having
they had almost a whole month.
Yeah.
And that's the rust versus rest, you know. the media, you know, finding the balance in there.
Yeah, well, Rust failed in the opening.
Did badly.
Yeah, but the good news is that college football is going to constantly be tweaking this until they get the right formula.
Yeah.
But the problem is these teams are just drastically different. I mean, the way that college football is played, there's styles make fights, and sometimes they just don't match up. So you're always going to have some duds. So right. I think increasing the playoff is going to eliminate some
of
those. I
also think those teams that got the byes were very, very jealous that they didn't get to host a game on their campuses in their.
I would agree with that. But the other one that was really the best game maybe of the entire tournament. I don't know if anybody saw Texas Arizona State being that entertaining. Yeah. I mean, Cam Scataboo is an alien, and he's dead on the sideline, and then goes out there and picks up 8 yards a run, and just what he was doing in every phase of the game.
I think as they tweak the structure of it, they'll start to hone in and make sure they get more games like that.
Well, of course, that's always the ideal situation. The other tournament that's looking to expand, where. I don't know that maybe it's just volume is going to get you more games that matter, because I think we always forget about the duds in the NCAA tournament.
We remember the buzzer beaters and classics and the upsets.
Well, especially when you have 4 or 5 games playing at the same time.
Exactly.
And finishing where you have these staggered finishes where you go from one to the next to the next to the next.
I have one. I don't have a problem expanding it other than one caveat. If they add this, I will get out the bullhorn and say this is a great thing. You must finish in your conference with at least a 500 record. Okay. I do not want this. I don't want to see 16 SEC teams and 14 Big Ten teams. And simply because you went...
And not the entire season, you have to finish
in your conference, your conference schedule. You don't get to pat it with some cupcakes. Maybe you played in one MTE tournament and you got one nice victory over somebody in another tournament team. But don't load up your RPI or your net rating value, and then you just, even though you have to value winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to expand to get more spots and the one bid leagues, that their number one team who was 27-4, but they got upset.
Yeah.
I'd rather see those teams get the opportunity.
More
that may not be as appealing from a television product standpoint, but I don't want to see this. There's already enough. Because of the size of the fields and the Power Four conferences, they get enough teams in.
Yeah.
So if you want to expand it, you have to have a 500 or better record in your conference to be eligible for the pool.
I like that. I like that. I mean,
if they do that, I'm all on board.
I don't know that they'll set like a hard standard, especially since they love their bracketology and all of those things. But I just think if it expands it out where you get more matchups that you haven't seen. The one thing that always throws me off about that tournament, and once you get in the Elite Eight and the Final Four and whatever it is,
those
fewer rematch. I want teams that haven't played each other.
Yeah.
That's where it gets fun. Where it's, you know, Eastern Washington doesn't get a chance to play Alabama very often.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is. I'm trying to remember who Eastern played on their little run.
I thought it was Kansas.
I think you might be right. But either way, I want to see teams that get a crack at the big boys. And even if it is, teams like Kentucky on a down year, if you get a chance and you're playing for, you know, pick your mid-major favorite, mm-hmm. Nevada or whoever, and you get a chance to go in the tournament to play against Kentucky and get a W, that is a lifelong memory for the fans, for the players. The plaques go up on your man cave forever, and that's really the opportunity.
So, I mean, essentially you're going to add, I would assume at the first and second round venues, you are going to add one game to places.
Yeah.
So Dayton, Ohio will go away with the first four. Those will go away, and you'll have, you know, maybe one or two extra games at each different site that'll be Tuesday or Wednesday. And so the madness will expand a day.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see a 5-13 SEC team in there because the formula, okay, you played this powerhouse schedule, but you didn't beat any of them.
Exactly. You still have to get W's. We won't have time. I don't think it's enough for the entire segment. You okay with the World Cup expanding to 48 teams?
I'm very okay with that because that's once every 4 years. Yeah. It's international. If you are going to bring fan bases from all around the country and you give them more opportunities for more fan bases to stay longer, great.
Two things I wanted to talk about in the next segment. I'll give you a choice.
Okay.
We either talk NFL, mm-hmm. who on earth is going to win the division, the divisions throughout the NFC.
Okay.
Because I really don't know. Or Tour de France.
Let's go NFL.
You sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to? They're in the hill section, aren't they?
What is it, stage five today?
I don't know what they're doing. I'm just kidding. We'll talk NFL. We'll do it. We'll do it next. Who are the best teams in each division in the NFC? We'll do that next. It is Luke and Swag on Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Dirt and Sprague back tomorrow in spirit. Best of show and back in
Monday in person.
In real life on Monday. They'll be back. Recap everything that the Blazers do in their debut in the NBA Summer League.
Saturday or Friday and Saturday.
And the fan games. And the fan text line is asking for the pronunciation of our new hero from China. It is Wong Hansen.
Hansen. Let me see if I can find. I think I kept that.
It's all good. We trust you're going to be rolling your R's out at the Hops game tonight. So we know that, or tomorrow night. So we know that you take very seriously your pronunciations. We don't have any worries about that. But yeah, those are the questions on the fan text line.
Okay, from this was when they acquired his draft rights on draft night. Yong Han Sun.
Yong. Yeah, you're saying
Y-A-H-N-G is the phonetic spelling.
So Yong.
Yong.
Hansen.
H-A-A-N. H-A-H-N.
Yeah.
Dash Sun. S-U-N.
S-U-N.
Yes.
Hansen.
That is from the Trailblazer.
Yong Hansen.
Yong Hansen.
Yong. Okay. All right. We'll do our. It's not Antetokounmpo, so I'm sure we'll get it to feel natural very soon. Unless he has an absolute egg laid this weekend, and we don't have to worry about it at all, and it can just be another one. Who was that guy? Oh, don't worry about it. They got another first round pick for it, so maybe in 2028 it'll be worth it. NFL is less than 2 months away. Looking ahead, I was kind of glancing at the divisions. The biggest favorite in any division is the Buffalo Bills, followed by the Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans. So all of your favorites tend to be in the AFC. Not saying that they'll necessarily fall that way.
No, but the races the heavyweights are in the AFC, more of them.
Well, and the races are just so much tighter in the NFC. The biggest favorite, of course, is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champs. They've been twice in a few years. So you expect them to come back and roll. They haven't had major changes to their team like the Detroit Lions, who lose two coordinators, and no team has ever been to a Super Bowl a season after losing two coordinators. Right. Not saying that they can't win the division, but the NFC looks like way more of a toss-up to me.
There's a lot more questions in the NFC.
Yeah.
Can the Commanders make another giant leap in year two?
Well, I know that you've forsaken them.
Everybody, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the Cowboys, new coach, Giants, new quarterback, year two for the greatest rookie campaign we've ever seen with Jaden Daniels and the Super Bowl champ. That whole division is kind of a little bit wild. I don't know.
There's certainly tons of potential, but there's been potential in Dallas for two decades, and they screw it up.
This is why you've moved on. You don't believe in Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah. I don't know that I don't, but I don't know what there is to make me think anything's going to be drastically different.
Boy, that was a wild resume for him to jump to the top of the list for the Cowboys to hire him. I don't know what the interview was like, going, I'll just do whatever you want, Jerry. Or if it was, he actually came in and said, hey, I've got a plan that's going to take Dak Prescott to the next level or whatever it is.
The fact that Kellen Moore was willing to jump when he did should be all the indication. Like, that guy was the heir apparent head coach in waiting, and he said, nah, I'll go be coordinators other places.
Thanks, Ben.
And
thanks.
Get my opportunity based on that.
Yeah. Well,
that's all you really need to know.
Seemed to work out for him.
Yes.
And moving in division was not a bad move. So let's make the prediction now. Where do you think the teams fall in the NFC East?
I think it will be very similar. I think it'll be just like last year. I think Philadelphia wins.
Washington,
maybe the gap's a little closer. Dallas will be third, and the Giants are still figuring things out.
No Russell Wilson magic for you.
No.
Okay. No. All right. I'm gonna flip at the top.
Now Dallas and Washington might have more wins. Philly might not be as dominant. Okay. There's the gap narrows, but
I'm really intrigued by Washington.
And this is all barring significant major injuries to key players.
NFL. If this was your and I's show, these would have a lot more weight. But listen, this will be forgotten into the ether. You're allowed to make your picks without caveats. I get it. I like Washington just because of the juice that they had coming off of the run that they made last year. When you get a team that rallies around a player as dynamic as Jaden Daniels, I think that is going to be maybe not just the division, maybe the most intriguing team in the NFL.
Well, and the whole thing in the offseason and the mentality coming into training camp is, do they come in feeling like they already accomplished something?
I wouldn't expect.
Or do they said, man, we're on our way to accomplishing what we want to accomplish, and the taste of it and seeing how close they are to it, is that the motivating factor? It's like, okay, we got to double down all of those things.
Yeah.
That's really how it will manifest itself in saying, okay, is there a sophomore slump? Or do they pick up where they left off and make another leap?
Well, I think what we've seen from young quarterbacks, when the salary cap allows them to play for less money than they should be valued at, you can put a roster around it. I haven't tracked the Washington Commanders offseason moves as closely as some, but everything that I've read is it is a team that has improved their roster. You've got a young quarterback that is going for broke and going to be going out there. And I think if you don't make a surge this year, then it's worrisome. But I think this is a lot more like Russell Wilson taking over the helm of the Seattle Seahawks than it is RG3 when he was in Washington. And those two met as rookies. And RG3 got the award, and Russell Wilson got the Super Bowl and got that playoff win. So I say watch out for the Washington Commanders, but I think you're right. I think it goes Washington, Philly, Dallas, and Russell Wilson. This version of Russell Wilson, even though I just complimented him, is not the same one. This is not a guy with a whole lot of drive. Let's look at the rest of the NFC divisions to start Hour 3. We've got Jeremy Piven coming up at 8:30. Hour 3 of Luke and Swag filling in for Dirt and Sprague next on 1080 The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.